When I was a sophomore in high school, I was attending a youth group on a Sunday evening, and there were about 20 of us in attendance, and the priest who was leading the group decided to give us an easy question to start. And he said, "What was the gospel for the Sunday? What was the gospel that was read at Mass earlier that day?" That was the response. There was no response. And so he said, "Okay, well, I understand it was a whole 8 hours ago, so you might have forgotten it. But who was the evangelist? Who was the evangelist that we read the gospel from?" Now with this, it was a lot easier because we had a 25% chance. We had an opportunity just to throw out a random guess and make it look like we were paying attention. But none of the 20 of us could venture a guess. And I remember being really hurt, being really ashamed that the gospel that had been proclaimed at Mass earlier that day really had no effect on us because we couldn't even remember it. We couldn't even remember the evangelist. Now, I'm not going to put you to the test right now. I know it's over. We just read the gospel, but I'm going to get you off the hook for today. But I remember that I wanted to know Jesus through the scriptures. And so I asked my older brother, how can I become more familiar with the scriptures? And so he said, "Read the Gospels. Why don't you start with Matthew and go through?" So I decided I could do that, a couple verses a day, maybe 5 minutes. And I got to the end of the Gospel of John, and I said, "Well, what should I read now?" And he said, "Read the Gospels again." And it was at that point that I realized that this has to be an everyday occurrence, that we encounter the words and the deeds of Jesus, especially through the Gospels. But the Word of God is truly a gift to us. Now, we Catholics often find ourselves the target of the joke when people say, "Well, Catholics, they don't know their Bible." But why don't we know our Bible? It's our book, after all. And why don't we do anything to remedy the situation? But before proceeding, I think we need to point out that the criticism is partially unfair. Because we do spend a lot of time with the scriptures. It's just often within the context of the Mass or worship. In fact, a recent survey a man put together, he looked through the Catholic Mass and he realized that 30% of the prayers of the Mass are scripture-based. But then he went to his local Bible-based evangelical church and found that only 3% of the service used scripture. At every Sunday Mass, we have a reading from the Old Testament, from one of the Psalms, from a New Testament letter, and also from the Gospel. And the Church follows a 3-year cycle, such that a faithful Catholic will hear almost the entirety of Scripture read during the course of 3 years. And even our responses at Mass are taken from Scripture. For example, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God of hosts. Lord, I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof. Thanks be to God." These are all taken directly from Scripture. And so a church-going Catholic does know Scripture. He just doesn't know that he knows. And that's the irony. And so we need a personal encounter with the Word of God. Because as St. Jerome said, ignorance of Scripture is ignorance of Christ. And so if we are going to get to know Christ, we need to know him through the Scriptures. But I think it's helpful to review where the Bible came from and how it received its present form. Now, most people at the time of Jesus would have been familiar with what we now call the Old Testament, which was comprised of the Torah, the Law, the Prophets, and the wisdom literature, the books like Psalms and Proverbs. And during the first century, the teaching of Jesus and the apostles was being handed down orally, and it was also being written down in books. Now, we have to remember that at that time, they didn't have instant communication, and they didn't have copy machines. So although the New Testament was written in the first century, it took a little time to compile the list of books and to send it out to all the churches. And so when the Catholic Church leaders got together to decide which books should be part of Scripture, They looked at three main criteria. First, apostolicity. It had to be connected to an apostle. Second, it had to be used universally in the liturgy. So not just in one location of the church, but in Jerusalem, in Egypt, in North Africa, in Greece, in Rome. And thirdly, everything taught in that book had to be consistent with what we profess in the creed. And so it was really the Catholic Church that decided which books should be listed in what we call the canon of Scripture, or the books of Scripture, as early as the Council of Rome in 382. So it shows us that even by the 4th century, it was the Church that was leading the charge in saying which books were inspired and which were not inspired by God. Now, inspiration means that God has inspired the authors, that he has breathed his life into the human authors, and he guided them such that they wrote down what he wanted us to hear for our salvation. And so because the scriptures are the word of God, the church has always venerated them just as she has venerated the body of the Lord. And so it's fitting that in the Mass we have two main parts, the liturgy of the word and the liturgy of the Eucharist. And so taking nothing away from the Eucharist, in the scriptures we encounter God himself. The church constantly finds nourishment and strength because it's not a human word, it's the word of God. And it's the Holy Spirit who inspired the human authors to write what they wrote. And so we can think of the Bible as the word of God in human form, because it's in human words that we can understand, that we can read. But we also have to remember we don't live by Scripture alone. We have sacred Scripture, and we have sacred tradition, the oral tradition that has been handed down to us, and these two form the one sacred deposit of the faith. The task of interpreting the Word of God, both the oral and the written Word of God, has been given exclusively to the teaching office of the church, what we call the magisterium. That's just the fancy Latin word for teacher. And this teaching office, the magisterium, is not above the Word of God, but rather it serves it. It guards the Word of God and faithfully hands on what she has received. And so we can think of those three, sacred scripture, sacred tradition, and the magisterium, really as a three-legged stool or a tripod, where if you pull one out, the whole thing collapses. So we have to keep all three. But since today's readings deal especially with the Word of God, let's take a closer look at this aspect of divine revelation, namely the scriptures. The prophet Isaiah in the first reading today reflects on the Word of God. When God speaks, reality is created. When God sends forth his word, his son, the world is renewed. The world is transformed. This is the power of God's word. In our gospel, Jesus delivers a parable about the importance of the word of God. Now, fortunately for us, he doesn't do this always, but today, he not only gives us the parable, but he also gives us the interpretation. The seed is the word of God, and we are the soil. Now, most likely, we all can relate to some of the failings that were mentioned in the first three types of soil, but it's the fourth that really gives us hope, that God still is working on us, that he's still planting his seed in us, and he wants us to bring about a greater harvest through grace. If we truly desire that word, then we'll begin to prepare our hearts and our minds to receive him. If we only say that we want to receive him, but we do nothing to prepare, then the word of God is just going to fall on the stony path. It's just going to fall away, and it's not going to bear fruit in our lives. So we need to ask ourselves, are we disposed to receive the word of God? Or are we entirely indisposed, that we're not even allowing it to sprout inside of us? Jesus shows us why the word is not always effective. God always respects our freedom. But we're the ones who have to prepare that seed. We have to prepare a worthy place for the Word of God to go inside of us. But even when the seed is sown, like in the gospel today, it doesn't develop equally. I think the gardeners here among us will testify to the fact that the seed doesn't always grow exactly how we're expecting it. But it's up to us to prepare that ground, to plant those seeds, to be faithful, to caring for the seed. Ultimately, we want to get in touch with the Word of God, Jesus himself, who is the Word. But how do we prepare our hearts and minds to receive him? Because it's really a person that we want to receive. This parable shows us how we can avoid being the ones who fall away because of not being prepared. We need to allow the Word to be embedded in us, to grow fully. We can't just recite the prayers. We can't just hear the Word. We have to ponder it. We have to reflect upon it. We have to contemplate, what is God saying to me through this text? We have to go beyond the surface meaning and go deeper and ask how God is trying to get us to fulfill this word in our own lives. And we really owe it to ourselves to cultivate this desire to meditate on the Word of God, lest we live a life like those first three soil mentioned, where it doesn't bear fruit. To become the good soil, we really have to digest the Word of God, especially through personal meditation. Now, this personal meditation, it's not an option for Christians. It's a requirement. We need to take the time to read Scripture prayerfully, to search out God's meaning and what it means for our lives today. So my advice this week, dust off that Bible. Everybody's got a Bible in the house. Dust it off. Maybe it hasn't been used in a while. Commit to reading the Bible every day, even if it's just a few verses at a time. The Bible is a divine love letter from God to us. It's living. It's effective. Like me, maybe you find it's easiest to start with the Gospel of Matthew. Again, just a few short verses at a time. Maybe with the infancy narrative, that's a great place to start, with the birth of Jesus and the reception of the Magi. As I mentioned, we have the three-year cycle that we're going through, and this year, as you'll notice, all the Gospels on Sunday are taken from Matthew. So it makes sense if we also are reading the Gospel of Matthew on our own. In addition to encountering Jesus communally, at Mass, in the Eucharist, we also need to encounter him personally, through our daily meditation on Scripture. And it's through this individual reading, this study of Scripture, that we will be the ones who hear the Word, who understand it, and who bear fruit 100-fold.